And Jesus said to them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Amen. There are many things prophesied in the Matthew 24 that are yet future. The guarantee that those things that are yet future shall be fulfilled is the fact that this one was fulfilled. Exactly. This part has already been fulfilled. The first two verses have already come to pass. The rest of Matthew 24 is yet future, because the first two verses have come to pass already. The Roman legions did attack Jerusalem in 70 A.D. They would have about 40 years probation before that happened. That 40 years, more or less, was a transition period. Amen. That was a transition period from the Jewish economy to the church economy. Amen. When Jesus was crucified, just about 3 days, more or less, later than this prophecy was given, we can credit this also to some of the very last words of Jesus. That puts a great credence to it, folks. Amen. That lends great credulity to this scripture, the fact that he spoke it in the last week before he was crucified. Amen. Jesus said, "There shall not be one stone left upon another." Amen. In just a few days, the veil of the temple that it would have took a team of horses to rip apart was ripped apart by God himself. Amen. While Jesus hung on the cross, the Bible records it for all to hear, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. Thus begun the destruction of the temple. Thus bared the Holy of Holies. Amen. Intimating, amen, indicating that the Holy of Holies was no longer the place where men would meet God. Amen. Hallelujah. They would meet him at the cross. Aren't you glad you met him at the cross? At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. Raise your hands and praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "There shall not be left here one stone upon another." Amen. Israel was cut off, according to Romans 11th chapter, the very day that Jesus Christ was crucified. Amen. Israel was cut off the very day that the Messiah was cut off. Daniel, the 9th chapter, amen, divides it into three parts. The first 7 weeks was to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Amen. The next 62 weeks, amen, would be up until the time that the Messiah was cut off, killed, or crucified. Amen. The last period of time, or the 70th week of Daniel, would have to wait because they rejected Christ. The clock stopped. Amen. Amen. The clock stopped. I went the other day and bought me a watch down at the dollar store. Amen. And paid $3.99 for it. Amen. And Christmas, when we opened our presents, I had two watches. Amen. Better than the one that I bought. And so I'll be wearing a different one from time to time. Amen. God wants us to be a little bit time conscious. Praise God. He wants us to know a little bit about what God has done. The fact that God has done some wonderful things, amen, in prophecy is proof that he's going to do all the other things that he said he's going to do. Amen. He saw to it. It happened just like he said. You can't stop prophecy. Some of it is already history. It's already been said. If there's anything that we learn from history, it's the fact that we never learn from history. If we did, we would know that the fact that Israel, amen, had its judgment in part already and was cut off in the economy of God. Amen. Ah, yes. Amen. That's made clear in Acts 15 and 14 and 15. Amen. How that James said God did it first, visit the Gentiles. Amen. Blindness in part has happened to Israel, according to Paul in Romans chapter 11. They were cut out of their own olive tree that we might be grafted in. Amen. It all happened just like he said. If that happened just like he said, you can count on it in the very near future. That white horseman's going to ride out after the tribulation of those days. Amen. The Son of Man is going to appear. He's going to make his advent and land upon the Mount of Olives. The mountain shall cleave asunder, and he shall walk in through the eastern gate into his own temple, just like the Bible said he would. Amen. Just like he prophesied in Zechariah, just like he prophesied in Daniel, just like he prophesied in Isaiah, just like he prophesied in Jeremiah, just like he prophesied in Malachi. Amen. To this, James said, agree all the prophets. When you get prophecy and get it right, it agrees with all the prophets. And you don't have to throw any of the pieces away. Amen. You don't have to take any pieces and reshape them. Did you ever get a crossword puzzle that you wanted to take one of those pieces and saw it out right? I have. That belongs there, but it didn't. The color fit. Everything seemed to fit, but it didn't fit. Amen. Oh, no. Yeah, and the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle of prophecy all fit perfectly once we get it straight. Praise God. Amen. Jesus in Matthew was prophesying about a Jewish economy. To tell the truth, he didn't have time to tell them the future of the church. He didn't have time to tell them that night. Amen. In that Olivet discourse, all that he could have told them. Amen. There's some things he didn't know himself. He says it right in Matthew 24. The Son don't even know the day and the hour. Amen. Hallelujah. I've said that he still don't. Amen. I have good friends that have said, my good friend Pearl Robinson said years ago, said, I believe he knows now. Amen. Roger, he believes he knows now. Amen. I don't believe he knows, even now. I'll tell you why I don't believe he knows. He's still the Son. Praise God. He's still in the position of the Son. Amen. Isn't he still the Son? The last book, the last chapter of Revelation calls him the Son of God. Amen. Therefore, he's still under those limitations. Amen. I believe he didn't know back before the beginning when he had his glory with the Father. I believe that the Father went off and thought for a moment. His thoughts went plumb deep into the future. Amen. And he left the Son by himself. And then he shook his head. And he came back. And he said to the Son, the day is set. Amen. And the Son shook his head and agreed. Amen. It would be left with the power of God. I don't believe he knew it then because he chose not to know. I don't believe he knows it now because he chose not to know. However, I'm pliable on that. If I see any proof, amen, I'll be happy to preach differently since he's still the Son. Amen. I don't believe he knows yet because he said while he was still on earth, behold, I come quickly. He said after he'd already gone back to glory, behold, I come quickly. Well, he didn't come as quickly as the apostles thought he would come. He didn't come as quickly as the church, early church, thought he would come. He didn't come as quickly as the persecuted church thought he would come. He didn't come as quickly as those I got saved under thought he would come. But he's still coming quickly. And his reward is still with him. Amen. Well, amen. If in time to come through our studies and revelation or whatever we decide differently, amen, we'll understand it better by and by. Can you say amen? But the fact that Jesus prophesied the destruction of the temple and there was not one stone left upon another. They tell me that the Roman legions, when they breached the wall of Jerusalem and burned and pillaged the city and burned the temple, that the gold of the temple melted and ran down between the cracks of the pavement, that they pulled up every pavement stone to get the gold out of the cracks, thus fulfilling the scripture. Amen. Not one stone left upon another one. Praise God. Oh, folks, if that was so vividly and so clearly and so completely and so right down to the jot and tittle fulfilled, don't you know, amen, that the remainder of Matthew 24 is soon to come to pass? Amen. But there's something more immediate than that. Between Matthew 24 and verse 2, amen, and verse 3, there is something else enters in that Jesus didn't even mention, and that's the church age. Amen. The revelation was clear to James, amen, that how God had put a hold on things as concerning Matthew 24. And God did at first visit the Gentiles to take out a people for his name. There's nothing said in Matthew 24 about a Gentilian economy, about a churchly economy, nothing. Because it has not to deal with the church. The church is inserted between the lines, if you please. Amen. Ah, yes, Paul said that their fall was our rising in so many words. Amen. Their being cut off was our opportunity. Or even now, he said in Romans chapter 11, there remaineth a remnant according to the election of grace. There's still some Jews that get saved in the church economy. Amen. Paul got saved in the church economy. Praise God. All the Jews from the day of Pentecost on got saved in a churchly economy. They were a part of the body of Christ or the church. Praise God. Ah, yes, he's going to go back to a kingdom economy shortly, however. That's when the church has run its course. and those that were grafted in contrary to nature are cut out of the tame olive tree because of unbelief. And those that were, amen, the olive tree by nature were grafted in again. God is able, he said, to graft them in again. When he does that, praise God, Matthew 24 wheels will begin to roll again. Praise God. Amen. And now, that brings us down to verse 4. Take heed that no man deceive you. There shall come a people, praise God, out of that revival when God returns to Israel, praise God, that will be 144,000 strong. Men and women with apostolic power. Amen. Sons and daughters upon whom would be poured out the Holy Ghost while the sun turns black and the moon is turned to blood and the stars fall from heaven right under the nose of the Antichrist. There shall be a revival in Israel. The spotlight, however, will have switched. The people that God was going to take out of the Gentiles for his name will have been taken out. Amen. Only a remnant from here on would be saved. Only a residue would be saved from here on. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. Oh, people, these things are going to happen. As we see things unfold right before our very eyes, it makes us to know, amen, that we are on the threshold of something great. Great changes are taking place. Everybody knew it in 1948. Amen. Even the sinners knew that something was afoot. Amen. That's when I got saved, around July the 4th, 1948, thereabouts. They were shooting firecrackers, at least outside the tent where I got saved. Amen. So we know it was around July the 4th. I don't know the exact date. Amen. At the ripe old age of 14, I hardly ever looked at the calendar. My mom kept the dates for us. And so nobody put it down the day I got saved. But Brother Bud Johnson, I got grafted in. You talk about wild. Amen. I was a wild country kid. My Lord. Already following in the footsteps of my forebears. Already following in the wild ways of sin. Amen. I hadn't gone into deep sin yet. I hadn't had the opportunity. We was too poor. Amen. We still lived in the sticks. And God knows how to hold us down. Can you say amen? I thank God that God kept me from the deepest, darkest part of sin. However, my heart was dark enough when Jesus came into my life. You know what he spoke to my heart and spread light across my soul the night I got saved? He said, I'm coming soon. And this is your night. And it's now or never. Seeing and knowing what I've seen and known in the ensuing years, I know just exactly what God was talking about. Amen. I'm saved, folks, by the skin of my teeth. If you made it in this century, you too just barely got in, because big things are about to happen. When Israel beat the Arabs, a handful of Israelis, undermanned and undergunned, whipped the Arabs around them, amen, outnumbered about 3 million to 1, amen, in 6 days' time. Even my dad sat up and took notice. Sitting on the front porch of that house in the hills of Arkansas, he said, "What do you think about this war?" And I said, "That's something, Dad." And he said, "I believe it's got something to do with the Bible." And he was a sinner. Even the sinners knew that things like that just don't happen. It has something to do with the Bible. Amen. When Israel flew into Africa, amen, and delivered their hostages from right under the nose of the dictatorship of that African country, and flew out with their hostages with the loss of very few men, very few casualties. Amen. The world championed their success. Why has Israel been successful? Why was she successful in the Yom Kippur War in 1973 when they caught them in the highest Sabbath of all when everybody was on leave? And still crossed the Suez. Amen. Still breached the lines of the Arabs. And still was on the way, amen, to Cairo, and on the way to Damascus, amen, conquered the Golan Heights, amen, and the Russians screamed for a ceasefire. How did they do it? I'll tell you how they did it. It was time for them to do it. Amen. 6 million of them had died at the hands of Hitler, and there was nothing they could do about it. Amen. 6 millions of Jews rotted and perished and tortured to death and starved to death and worked to death, and nothing they could do about it. Why? It wasn't time. But when it came time, they became a nation. When it came time, they rebuilt Jerusalem. Amen. Did you know the Bible said, when Jerusalem shall be rebuilt, the Son of Man shall appear? In the day, the psalmist said, that I build up Zion, the Son of Man shall appear in His glory. The King shall appear in His glory. Amen. We're witnessing in our time the building up of Zion. You've heard it so much in the last 25 years that it's almost a bore. You've heard it so much that you've taken it for granted. And that's the danger we face tonight. The fact that we've took it for granted. Listen to what he said in Matthew 24. When blessed is that servant whom the Lord will cometh and find so doing. Verily I say unto you, he shall make him ruler over all his good. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. Verse 49. Amen. And begin to smite his fellow servant, and eat and drink with the drunken. Listen to what he said. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. They're doing that. They're doing that. Why have so many people backslid right out of the church? If they had thought he was coming, they'd have stayed in. They said, the Lord delayeth his coming. Amen. What are they doing? They begin to smite their fellow servants. They're doing that. Violence is on the increase in the streets. Amen. It's more dangerous to live on the streets of our American city than it is to live in Russia today. Amen. And begin to smite his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunken. They're doing that. Some of them still in church while they do it. Some of them still preaching while they're doing it. Amen. It's not unheard of to send a Pentecostal preacher once in a while to that place down in Texas where they sent Gerald Ford's wife, amen, to dry out drug addicts and alcoholics. Amen. Not too long ago, they sent a preacher from Hamilton, Pentecostal preacher, big church down there, to dry him out on drugs. Amen. Yes, they have begun to eat and drink with the drunken. Why? They don't think he's coming soon anymore. He didn't come in 5 years. He didn't come in 10 years. He didn't come in 20 years. Therefore, the Lord delayeth his coming. My, my, my. Amen. How we look at time and fail to see that God looks at time from eternity. And 1,000 years is a day. And a day is 1,000 years with God. Hallelujah. Therefore, he said, behold, I come quickly. Praise God. He said, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. Oh, yes. We can get a lot of good out of Matthew 24. Amen. We can take heed to a lot of things. Hey, even in Matthew 24, we can learn that even in our own falling away, even in our own apostasy, in our day, there's going to be a people caught unprepared when the rapture of the church takes place. Amen. Take heed that no man shall deceive you. Amen. Now, Daniel's 70 week has started in. Amen. And you know what Israel is going to do right at the very beginning of that week? She's going to sign a treaty with a man of sin. She's going to make an agreement. Amen. Oh, yes, she's going to make a league. That's just exactly what Daniel said she would do. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Incidentally, that puts the 1 week all together in 1 week. It is a single entity. It's not divided into 3.5 years, amen, in the church age or in Jesus' lifetime and 3.5 years later. The 1 week plays it all out together in the last day. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Amen. The well-meaning preachers and teachers and good men, and if you believe this, amen, you're not alone. They believe that the 3.5 years was Jesus' ministry on earth. Amen. And that the abomination of desolation spoken of in Matthew 24 was the crucifixion of Christ in Calvary. Amen. Let's see. Again, Matthew 24. Amen. As Jesus mentions in the 15th chapter, 15th verse of the 24th chapter, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Amen. Whoso readeth, let him understand. How do you understand that? Go back to Daniel. Jesus put his stamp of approval on Daniel. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Years ago, I was pastoring in Barberville, just a block from Union College, and a young boy that was courting one of our girls, amen, was going to Union College, and he was in a Bible class over there, and one of his books was a book by Anderson, Understanding the Old Testament. To Anderson, Understanding the Old Testament, the ministries of Elijah and Elisha was myth, Jewish folklore. The book of Daniel was a forgery written in two or three different languages, amen, and therefore Daniel was not authoritative. Dear friends, when you say Daniel was not inspired, you make Jesus a liar. Jesus put the stamp on the book of Daniel once and for all. But in what they call higher criticism, amen, they have criticized the prophets right out of the Bible. They've criticized the miracles right out of the Bible. They've criticized, amen, the supernatural right out of the Bible. Made Daniel and many of the prophets a forgery. And the ministry of Elijah and Elisha, a myth. Amen. Jewish folklore. Unbelief. In our time, amen, teaching our kids, our would-be pastors and teachers for the future, amen. Oh, God, amen. The 15th verse of Matthew 24 marks the dead center of Daniel's 70th week. Go back to the book of Daniel. Amen. In the middle of the week, he shall break his covenant with them. Amen. And bring the abomination which maketh desolate in. Which, amen, other scriptures in the Bible, 2 Thessalonians, amen, the book of Revelations, Zechariah, and others, amen, indicate that it'll be his own image that he will set up right in the temple. Amen. And that marks a dead center. As he moves his headquarters from Babylon to Jerusalem in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. Is the crucifixion of Christ the abomination of desolation? No. 1,000 times no. But I had a good friend of mine who's preached here many times. He's gone now. Sat at my table several years ago and say, God showed me that the abomination of desolation was a crucifixion of Christ. Amen. Now, I explained to him, amen, in childlike terms that anybody could understand how that could not be. That you couldn't kill Jesus at the end of the 62nd week and kill him again in the middle of the 70th week. You got to kill him 2 times. You got to cut him off 2 times. Amen. He said, I can see that. I can see that. 2 years later, my good friend sat in the very same chair, very same table, and he said, I do believe that God showed me that the abomination of desolation was a crucifixion of Christ. He died believing that. Good man. Amen. I explained to him again how that it could not be. Amen. Sometime you're just beating your gums with some people. Sometimes we get too old to learn. But let's look. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, he that readeth, let him understand, then let them which are be in Judea flee to the mountains. Did them which were in Judea flee to the mountains when Jesus was crucified? No. Matthew 24, amen, Luke 24, he told them to tarry in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 1, he told them after Jesus was crucified and even walked among them for 40 days, amen, he told them to tarry in Jerusalem. Don't leave it. I settled my case right here. Amen. They didn't flee Jerusalem when Jesus was crucified. As a matter of fact, the greatest revival that Jerusalem ever had broke out and lasted until, amen, 70 A.D. when Titus surrounded the city, and they did flee to the mountains when they saw the armies of the Romans marching. They did flee to their their hiding place in Decapolis. Amen. Cross the River Jordan, beyond the Golan Heights. Praise God. Those 10 cities, they did flee over there. They did find refuge over there. Amen. And safety. And according to Josephus, no Christians died in the siege of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. because they listened to the words of Christ. Amen. But at Jesus' crucifixion, nobody fled. As a matter of fact, there were still so many of them there, and so many of them caught in the famine, that Paul went all through the Asian continent and all through Macedonia. Amen. That's the European continent where the gospel had gone. Amen. And took up an offering for the poor saints of Jerusalem and took it back to them. They still hadn't fled. Even through Paul's ministry. Amen. Why? Because the gospel would be preached in all the world, in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. It's going on right now, children. It's happening right today. Amen. And thank God it has, because we got in on it when it went to the uttermost parts of the earth. But the fact that Jerusalem was destroyed and Israel was cut off guarantees that God has an unfulfilled week, an unfulfilled 7 years to deal with Israel before Daniel's vision is complete. Amen. How does that affect us? Very much. Before God does that, he's got to get us out of the way. 2 Thessalonians said, he who now letteth will let. You don't realize how important you are. You don't realize how powerful your prayers are. You don't realize, praise God, what a power you are and the influence you are in the world. You don't realize that the Antichrist can't take over as long as the church is here. There's too many people of God know how to pray. And every one of them has got an angel watching over them. Amen. Hallelujah. And every one of them angels, praise God. Hallelujah, is guarantee that the devil can't overrun us till a time comes. Woo! Amen. If Elijah's servant could say, there's more with us than they are with them, praise God, we can say, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Praise God. We got the angels. The body of Christ is in the world. Amen. Lastly, the tribulation is judgment on the apostate and the stubborn and the rebellious, to try to get a few of them straightened out. Amen. The time of tribulation is not for the body of Christ. Amen. Years ago, I was pastoring in Alto Pass, and a brother came up to be prayed for. I would tell his name, but our tapes goes out there. Amen. I have told it behind this pulpit. Amen. But his initials is J-I-M. And amen. He came up to be prayed for. Jim Might have liked a little bit having a full load, I don't know. Maybe he just had a chemical imbalance. Amen. But while he was sitting there, and we was praying for him, he wasn't praying too much himself. He wasn't too reverent, as a matter of fact, while we prayed. He said, I want to show you people something. And he took out his pocket knife like he's going to play Mumble Peg. Amen. You ever play Mumble Peg? Amen. Well, he took out his pocket knife, and he opened one blade halfway like he's going to play Mumble Peg. Amen. And he held out his arm, and he began to hack his arm with the blade of that knife to show us that he couldn't feel a thing as the blood ran out of his arm and dripped on the floor. And we was trying to pray for it. Jim did that to his own body because he was not quite balanced, shall we say. A chemical imbalance. There are those that preach that the church is going through the great tribulation. I'm going to tell you that the church is not going to go through any of the tribulation, because they're the body of Christ. Amen. Ephesians tells us how a good husband's supposed to behave himself. He's supposed to love his wife like his own body. How does he love his body? He loveth and cherisheth it. He takes good care of it. He feeds it when it gets hungry. Amen. And clothes it when it gets cold. Amen. Takes good care of it. That's where a good husband takes care of his wife like his own body. Amen. Do you think Jesus is a good husband for his heavenly bride? Or do you think that Jesus is going to send his bride through the fire? He's going to send his bride through the great tribulation. Amen. He's going to hack his bride with the sword. Amen. And say, gentlemen, I'd like to show you people something. Amen. You think Jesus is going to do that to his bride? No. He's a good husband. He loveth and cherisheth his body. And the church is his body. Amen. And I'll tell you something. Before Matthew 24 can be fulfilled, before Revelations chapter 4 on can be fulfilled, the church has got to go out of here. According to Acts 15, he's going to take out a people for his name. If Matthew 24, amen, is hanging fire today, if Matthew 24 is about to start up again, I ought to tell you what, the church is about to leave out. Raise your hands, stand to your feet, and praise God, amen, that there is an escape for the church of the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. As they sing, we invite you around the altar of prayer. Father, bless our broken remark. Challenge our people, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, help us, Lord, to be a power for God. What little time we got left, to be a power for God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, children. This is your altar. This is your altar. And that's what the altar's for. Troubles, you can sell it with God. You can sell it with God. With you. Once and for all.
Once and for all. Now is it say, I'm in your heart to God. Saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way. Pilgrims strut. Christians away. Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night. Morning or night. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will sound.